The Sexy Librarian presents the Kiss Me Quicks Erotica Podcast. You are entitled to your sexual self. We encourage lurid listeners to be playful, enjoy yourselves, your partners, and your sexuality. This show is for adults only. Welcome back to the Kiss Me Quicks Erotica Podcast. This is your favorite sexy librarian, Rose Caraway. Big Daddy's here again today. Hey, Big Daddy, what's up?
Hey, what's up?
You got some email from lurid listeners today?
I got some email.
Yay, what you got?
Okay, this person would like to remain anonymous, which is totally fine. We totally get that, so no problem. All right, here we go. Hi, Rose. First, I want you to know that I love your podcast and audio stories. You have the sexiest voice and laugh I've ever heard. In my opinion, you are the best in the business. However, I have two things I was curious about. I was wondering why, when you narrate an erotic story, you always make the male character voice yourself instead of using your husband or some other male to narrate that part of the story. The other question is, why isn't there more variety in body type, ethnicity, age in your stories you narrate? It seems like in most, if not all, of the stories, the idea of a sexy main female character is a young, white woman with large breasts, small waist, and a big butt. If you take a look at any porn website, you'll notice that there are sections for lovers of BBW, mature, not just MILFs, ebony, Asian, and Latina, slender and petite women, even pregnant women, etc. Do any of your audiobooks include women in any of these or other categories? If so, which ones? Thank you, and keep up the good work.
Yay, all right, well, thank you very much. I guess first and foremost, I want to say that it costs a lot of money to hire voice actors. So that's probably predominantly the reason why I have been the voice behind most every story that's narrated on this show, though I have had a few other voices. We have recently hired some new voices, so this has been something we have been working up towards. And I like to use Big Daddy my way, so no. one of the reasons why we typically don't suddenly drop in a male voice is because it is jarring. And a lot of people, I would say that most people don't prefer it that way. They want to hear a story smoothly, and if you suddenly introduce a new voice, it's distracting to the story. So we like to keep things as least distracting as possible. But I would recommend, lurid listener, that you listen to more of our library because we have had male voices. Big Daddy has narrated a few things, and in every single anthology I've ever done, there are many body types, many ethnicities represented. So you just have to search a little bit, you know, spend more time listening to the Kiss Me Quick stories. Buy a few audiobooks. That would be great.
I think I'd like to also add here that often the stories are people of all different kind of ethnicity and body shapes, especially like the best women's erotica of the year. I mean, that's...
Oh, it's exemplary. Yeah.
I mean, it's just chock full of people from all over the world.
Or there's minimal description. Physically, it's right. Just you are imagining it,
right.
Which is kind of my favorite writing. Like, it's unless it's important to the story, I like descriptions of physicalities to be left to my imagination.
Right.
So, but yeah, there is variety all across the board in all the audiobooks that I've done and across all of our library in the KMQ show. Mm-hmm. So I just say listen a little bit more. And as always, if you guys want to get in touch with us, please email us anytime at thekissmequicks@gmail.com. You can even send us a voicemail. Be sure to give us permission to play your recording on the show. Otherwise, we can't. The number to do that is 202-810-KISS. Before our story begins, let me tell you about our latest audiobooks. Best Women's Erotica of the Year, Volume 3. Edited by Rachel Kramer Bussell. Narrated by me, Rose Caraway. Best Women's Erotica of the Year, Volume 3, delivers the kind of sexy stories you want most. Daring, bold, and surprising tales of women who pursue their boundless passions anywhere and everywhere, Edited by Rachel Kramer-Bussell, winner of multiple independent publishing book awards, these scintillating scenarios turn the tables on how women are supposed to behave. Instead, these uninhibited vixens indulge in their favorite fetishes, do deliciously intimate body shots, and get tied up with red satin ribbons. They pose nude, dress up, and role play, always obeying their most exhilarating impulses. These lusty ladies take your most cherished, private fantasies, from making a sex tape, to taking part in a thrilling threesome, to having a stud delivered to your door, hot and ready, and make them come alive. Written by beloved authors Abigail Barnett, Annabelle Joseph, and Charlotte Stein, along with several genre newcomers, these are erotic encounters you'll want to savor again and again and again. The Sexy Librarian's Big Book of Erotica, edited and narrated by Rose Caraway. Imagine a library, a very special one run by a librarian whose only concern is pleasuring her patrons. In fact, this librarian will stop at nothing to service her readers. To that end, she has carefully collected a fantastic and fantasy-filled set of stories guaranteed to satisfy literary lusts in The Sexy Librarian's Big Book of Erotica. This voracious volume is simply bursting at the binding with amorous archives and bibliophilic bliss. It is a veritable dictionary of desires with stories by top eroticists Rachel Kramer-Bussell, Tamsin Flowers, and Salome Wilde, as well as me, Rose Caraway, the sexy librarian herself. Get these sexy audiobooks now in iTunes, Amazon, and Audible. Today's episode is titled Red Satin Ribbons and is written by one of my own favorite erotica authors, Tamsin Flowers. Tamsin is provocative and unflinching in her creativity, and she's always drawn me in with how well she puts her characters into some of the most extravagant scenes. This story has a certain decadence that I know will curl your toes. We open up with a woman inside a box who's tied up with red ribbons, shibari style. She's waiting to be unwrapped, untied, unraveled. Whose birthday is it? And now, Red Satin Ribbons by Tamsin Flowers, as featured in Best Women's Erotica of the Year, Volume 3. I'm telling you this because I'd like your opinion. The question is, is this possibly the most reckless thing I've done in my whole life? Let me enlighten you on the situation. I'm crouched down, naked, inside a giant cardboard box, tied up shibari style with red satin ribbon and plenty of bows. I can't move. I can only breathe. The box is wrapped in silver paper and tied with more red satin ribbon, with an enormous bow on top, apparently. It's sitting in the center of the floor of a chic, modern apartment in downtown Houston that I've never been in before today. It's a gift, or should I say, I'm a gift. A gift for a woman I've never even met. You want to know how I got myself into this situation before you can give me an opinion on whether it's rather stupid or, in fact, rather exciting? Okay, let me backtrack to the beginning of the scene and tell you how it came about. There's a guy at work, Tom, he's called, and over the past 6 months since he started at the company, we've become friends. Close friends, I would say, though I don't actually see him outside work. He's married and I'm single. I live on the other end of town and, you know, office buddies, that's where it's at. I like Tom. He's funny. He's cute, though not the sort of guy I usually go for. And he brightens up what could be boring day after boring day after... It's not so exciting working in the offices of a freight company, so anyone with a sense of humor is a godsend. Tom's a couple of years older than I am, with dark hair, pale blue eyes, and a pale complexion, coloring, he informs me, which came from his Irish mother. He likes to have quesadillas for lunch at least twice a week, and if we sink a couple of margaritas on a Friday afternoon, well, so the hell what? And yes, now you ask, I have got the hots for him, but I swear, nothing's ever happened between us. Apart from one chaste kiss after a double margarita lunch, and that was when my dog died, so it doesn't count. The bottom line is, Tom adores his wife and would never mess around with me. That's what makes this a little bit weird. A couple of weeks back, we were having lunch at Rodrigo's. It's a bit of a walk from the office, and I have to say, a bit of a dive. But Tom likes the food there, and I'm easily bribed by the promise of a margarita. It's Shona's birthday in a couple of weeks, he says, spraying nacho crumbs across the table. Shona is Tom's wife. I wonder why he's telling me this. What are you getting her? I ask. He shrugs. I don't know, he says slowly. I know what she wants, but I'm damn not sure if I'm gonna get it for her. What is it? What does she want? But Tom changes the subject without answering, and the talk turns to office politics as we work our way through two fat plates of quesadillas and four margaritas. I don't think any more about what he said regarding Shona's birthday until I'm leaving the office at the end of the afternoon. Tom catches me up as I stand waiting for the elevator. Wanna add a third margarita to your tally? He says. It's a Friday night and I have nothing planned, so of course I say yes. But it strikes me as unusual. Tom and I haven't been out drinking after work before. We hit one of the local bars and Tom gets the drinks. I notice he seems nervous, finishing his beer quickly and getting himself another one before I'm even a quarter of the way through my cocktail. When he gets back to the table, I put my hand on his glass to stop him drinking. What's eating you, Tom? I ask. You've been antsy all afternoon, and now you're drinking fit to get hammered. Tom pries the beer glass from my hand and takes a gulp, watching me intently over the rim of the glass. Leah, you're a pretty liberal-minded girl, would you say? I nod. Sexually liberated? There's a tremor of nerves in his voice. Willing to try different things? Sure, I say. I wonder where he's going with this, but I don't have to wait long. Shona's birthday, he says, and starts speaking very fast. She wants me to find another girl, you know, a girl who would be willing to do it with us. She wants a threesome, me, her, and someone else, in bed together. Got it, I say, to shut him up. Now it's my turn to take a gulp of my drink. Am I right in thinking that you're thinking about me? God, this is embarrassing, he says. You can tell me to fuck off if you want, Leah. But I didn't. So now I'm here, tied up in this box, and I'm starting to cramp, and it's hot and stuffy. And this is the point where I begin to wonder how well I really know Tom. Not that well, evidently, and I don't know his wife, Shona, at all. It's early Saturday evening. Shona has been sent to visit her sister for the afternoon, and she knows she's coming home to a birthday surprise. I arrived sometime after she'd left, and then Tom showed me the lengths of red ribbon he'd got and a picture of how he was going to tie me up. I looked at it. It was of a Japanese girl, the creamy white skin of her torso crisscrossed by a network of ropes and complicated knots. She looked beautiful, but I wasn't sure I was ready to be hogtied, and I said so. Tom gave me a double brandy to calm my nerves, and then asked me to strip. This was the point when I nearly went home, but Tom caught me in his arms, told me everything would be fine, and kissed me, properly kissed me, snaking his tongue into my mouth and sliding his hands up and down my back until I felt the heat building between my legs, and the juices pooling, I let him peel off my clothes. Then I crouched on the floor as instructed, and he started working with the ribbon. It took nearly 2 hours, and by the time he finished, I had become an inanimate object. I was thoroughly bound, head to toe, with as many bright red satin bows along the length of my back as I had vertebrae. Some of the ribbons went around my arms, fastened tightly in an X across my torso, with my hands bound against my opposite hips. Further ribbons anchored my ankles up to my hands, and there were red satin knots around my breasts and between my legs. "You look amazing," said Tom, holding up a mirror so I could see the full effect of his handiwork. It was true. I did look extraordinary, but it was an abject lesson in indignity as Tom, being as gentle as he could, manhandled me into the cardboard box. And here I am, waiting. And oh, did I forget to mention that once I was in the box, Tom added a ball gag into the mix? The ball is red to match the ribbons. So I wait. And it seems like forever, and though Tom is chatting to the box, I can't answer him, and I'm starting to feel isolated. His phone rings, and he talks a moment, but I can't make out the words. Then he puts on some music, low, dark jazz piano that immediately builds atmosphere, even inside the box. I hear the front door of the apartment open and close, and a flurry of nerves flutters through me. I've been longing to get out of this box since Tom put me in here, and now, all of a sudden, I see it as my little haven. I'm not so sure I want it to be opened and flooded with light. Voices murmur, Tom's and that of a woman, and a clink of glass tells me drinks are being poured. I hardly dare breathe. "Happy birthday, darling," says Tom, sounding nearer now. "Can I open it?" says the woman, Shona, obviously. "That's the general idea," says Tom with a laugh. "No, yes. Why did I ever agree to this?" I hear the noise of fabric being pulled against fabric. She's untying the bow. Then there's a tearing of paper, and almost immediately, the sides of the box are ripped down and folded out flat on the floor. I am exposed. "Oh my God, baby!" she shrieks as she sees me. "I didn't think you'd manage it." From what I can just see of their feet and from the sounds I hear, I surmise she is embracing him. I hear kissing. Then she's squatting down in front of me, tucking a stray lock of hair behind my ear. Because of the way I'm tied, I can't raise my head to see her face, but I notice she's got great legs, encased in the sheerest of stockings, and her feet sport vertiginous court shoes that I would never be able to walk in. "Honey, you're beautiful. What's your name?" I hear Tom moving, and I see his feet arriving to stand just behind her. "Ball gag," he says. "Her name's Leah." "Oh, Leah," Shona says, playing with my name on her tongue. "Am I going to have fun unwrapping you?" "She's all yours, baby," says Tom. "You can do what you want with her. You're in control." I swallow hard. I wonder what's going to happen. Shona might choose to do anything to me, and I'm powerless to prevent it. All I have is my trust in Tom, not to let things go beyond. How would he know where I might draw the line? We didn't really discuss the details, the nitty-gritty mechanics of the sex, but at the same time, I've never been so turned on in my life. I can feel my pussy wet. And when Shona traces the ribbons binding my arms with one well-manicured finger, I start to tremble. Then, when she bends lower to kiss my shoulder and nuzzle my neck, and I can smell her sharp, citrus-fresh perfume, my jaw clamps against the gag, and I moan low in my throat. "She's perfect, Tom," says Shona. "She's so ready for it." She runs a hand down the ribbons latticed across my back, stroking it possessively over the curve of my buttocks and then exploring the exposed cleft between my legs. She makes a little purring sound as one of her fingers slides between my labia and into the wet, velvety hollow beneath them. My muscles contract against her fingers as if saying hello to a friend. Then the fingers are gone, and I realize she's standing up. I see her clothing fall to the floor as she strips off, and Tom comes over to help her. His clothing joins hers, and I realize, although I can only see their legs from the knees down, they are both standing naked in front of me, once again embracing. Small feminine moans make me realize that Tom is somehow pleasuring his wife, but I can't tell if he's just kissing her, caressing her, or perhaps fingering her pussy the way she just fingered mine. After a moment, Tom steps back from her. "Babe, I'm going to watch you play with Leah. You just tell me if you want me to do anything for you." There's the loud smack of a kiss. "Best birthday present ever, darling." Then Shona is kneeling in front of me again. She strokes my hair and strokes my cheek. "Poor Leah," she says. "I bet you can't wait to be untied so you can have some fun. But before I do that, I want to have a little play with you." She vanishes for a second and then reappears in front of me. "Look at this," she says. Her hand comes into my range of vision, and in it, she's holding a beautiful, sculpted glass dildo. It's crystal clear and looks so smooth. The sensation of want flares in my pussy. "I bet you'd like to feel this inside you, wouldn't you?" I manage to nod my head within its limited range of movement, and I whimper against the ball gag. I feel her hand gently caressing the soft folds of flesh outside my pussy. With the softest touch, her fingers unfurl first my outer and then my inner lips, opening me up and smoothing my hot juices over the whole area. I hear a sharp intake of breath. "You smell so good," she whispers, somewhere near my cunt. Then I feel the cold touch of glass against my fevered skin as she runs the tip of it up and down the outer folds. My body bucks and strains against the ribbons, and inside my pussy there is a sharp stab of pain, not from intrusion, but from the desire for it. She teases me, working the head of the dildo all around, but never quite into me, and I writhe beneath its touch. I implore her, as far as it's possible for me to do, moaning and grunting against the gag in my mouth, begging with every fiber of my being for her to plunge it into me and assuage my need. "Look how much she wants it, Tom," says Shona.
"Then give it to her, babe. Don't make her suffer."
I send a silent vote of thanks to Tom. He seems to know what I need, even though he's never seen me in a situation like this before. Shona finally takes heed of his words, and I feel the heft of the cold glass powering up inside me, stretching me, and sending a flurry of live current coursing through my nervous system to my brain. It slides forward and back, pushing farther each time. She works it in and out, hard and fast, fucking me until my clit's on fire with the need to be touched, and my body has become nothing more than a pulsing tangle of muscle and nerve, overwhelmed by sensation and the need for resolution. Unexpectedly, I feel another pair of hands, Tom's hands, on my body, reaching under the curve of my back to cut both my breasts, pinching my nipples and pulling on the ribbons around them until the pain makes me throw back my head and whine.
"She's nearly there, Shona, and now you've got to let her come. You can't just tease."
"Sorry, babe," whispers Shona, and I don't know if she's talking to him or me, but it's so beautiful to watch her body reacting like this. Tom's hand snakes down my front and pushes its way between my legs. As his fingers press against the mound of soft flesh above my clit, I start to lose control, and by the time he finds the spot, I'm already halfway into orbit. With the touch of an expert, he initiates a fast-building explosion of pleasure, making every single cell in my body jump despite the fact that I've been so thoroughly immobilized. If it weren't for the gag, I would be screaming. As it is, I make a deep grinding noise at the back of my throat as the climax rips through me. And then I'm spent, entirely spent. My body falls limp against the ribbons that bind it, and I hardly notice as Shona slides the dildo from my body with a gentle hiss of suction. "Let's untie her," she says. I feel the first bow on my back being pulled loose, and as the ribbon falls away, I can feel the blood returning to where the skin was compressed. It tingles slightly, and at the same moment, I feel the pressure of a pair of lips kissing me at just the point where the knot had dug in. "Better?" whispers Shona. I nod. Then Tom undoes the ball gag at the back of my head. I cough and splutter with relief as I'm able to eject the hard plastic ball from my mouth. "Yes, better," I say hoarsely. Shona continues to untie the knots, kissing me and caressing me, slowly allowing my body to unfurl under her touch. I glance down at the pattern of red welts the ribbons have made across me, and when my head and back have regained their freedom of movement, I look up to see what my temporary mistress looks like. I catch my breath, and it's all I can do not to sob. Shona, Tom in the office's wife, Shona, is quite simply one of the most beautiful women I've ever laid eyes on. Jet black hair, cut in a perfect bob, so shiny you can almost see your reflection in it. A dark, luscious rosebud of a mouth, smooth olive skin, and the blackest eyes, which dance with their own inner radiance. In an instant, I can see why she inspires such devotion in Tom, and then I instantly hate myself for wondering why she isn't with someone far better looking and much wealthier than Tom. But watching them working together, undoing the rest of the ribbons and rubbing my flesh to bring the feeling back into it, I can see they're perfectly attuned, completely on the same wavelength and totally comfortable in each other's company. And I want to be part of their little circle, and at this exact moment, I suppose I am. "Bring her to the bed," says Shona. Tom helps me to stand up, and then, realizing my legs are numb from being tied for so long, he carefully lifts me in his arms and carries me from the living room through to the master bedroom. Shona walks ahead and pulls the cover off the bed so Tom can lay me down on the fresh white sheet. "Lie with her," says Shona to Tom, and he lies down next to me. Shona climbs onto the bed on the other side of me, and both of them begin to stroke and kiss me. Tom's mouth finds its way to my breast. As his tongue swirls the nipple and his hand presses firmly against my other breast, I find desire once more flaring in the pit of my stomach. Shona busses me on the mouth, and when she finds my lips soft and responsive, her tongue slips inside to caress mine.
"Your treat, Shona. Tell us what you want," says Tom.
"Some wine would be good," she replies. And then I watch Tom as he leaves the room. Naked, he's a revelation. A gym buff body with hard abs and a tight little ass. Several tattoos I had no idea about, and what looks like an appendix scar. Shona is watching me, watching him. "Cute, isn't he?" she says. I'm not sure about the etiquette of agreeing that someone else's naked husband is a massive turn-on, but Shona doesn't seem interested in my reply. She scoots down the bed, pulls my legs apart, and before I realize what's going on, her face is on my pussy. "This is what I've really been jonesing for," she says with a grin, before taking the dive. By the time Tom comes back with the drinks, I'm writhing and moaning and squirming under Shona's ministrations. She's obviously been here before because she seems to really know what she's doing.
"Oh, man, what a sight," says Tom.
"Can I?"
Get on board, says Shona, coming up for air momentarily. A second later, Tom has straddled my chest, and I'm face to face with a great big, gorgeous cock for which there's only one destination. I open my mouth and suck it inside in one huge gulp, and above me, Tom grunts his approval and flexes his hips forward. Shona sucks my clit till I come. I suck Tom's dick till he comes. Tom fucks Shona senseless. She comes. We all drink wine, and then we change places and start all over again. At one point, Shona pulls out a box of toys from under the bed, and we have some fun with a strap-on. First, Tom watches me screwing his wife, and then we swap places, me and Shona, not me and Tom. We drink the wine, we eat, and we make love. And it's really good. There's always someone and something for everyone to do. And finally, we sleep. The three of us together in Tom and Shona's huge, king-sized bed. It's Sunday morning and we've gone for brunch, all in need of a big protein fix. I was the first awake and wondered whether I should sneak away. But Shona caught me getting dressed in the bathroom and sucked me back into the big, warm bed. And they easily convinced me that I should stay a bit longer. As usual, when it came to food, Tom wanted Mexican, but Shona and I overrode him, and now we're sitting at a table in the breakfast club. We all have the breakfast special with a side order of waffles to share. I'm ravenous. I'm also wondering how this is going to play out, what with Tom and I having to see each other at work every day. I won't say I didn't consider this point before agreeing to become Shona's birthday fuck toy, but I did sort of push it out of my mind. However, now we've all three screwed each other to kingdom come and back again. Yes, there was more action in the big bed this morning. Questions are popping up in my mind. Was this a one-off or will there be repeats? Was it as good for them as it was for me? Will Tom and I still have quesadilla margarita lunches every Friday? I'm toying with my eggs. Leah, Earth calling Leah. Tom's voice comes to me through the fog of thought. What? I say. More coffee. I nod. Perhaps I need another dose of caffeine to cut through the haze. A hovering waitress fills my cup. Tom told me you have a birthday coming up, says Shona. I glance at Tom. How the hell did he know? He smiles enigmatically. Anything you'd like? Says Shona. She has a look in her eye I already recognize. Anything I'd like? Can it come wrapped in red satin ribbons? Hope you guys enjoyed the show. That was Red Satin Ribbons, written by Tamsin Flowers, as featured in Best Women's Erotica of the Year, Volume 3. You guys can follow Best Women's Erotica on Twitter at BWE of the Year. You guys can follow the show on Twitter at the KMQ. You can also follow me at Rose Caraway and Big Daddy at Big Daddy Dave. Head over to stupidfishproductions.com and subscribe to get news on our latest calls for submissions and for exciting erotica giveaways, interviews, sexy snippets, writerly wisdoms, and a lot more. Audio production by Big Daddy Dave Caraway.
The KMQ would like to thank the following musical artists: Uncanny, Peter Rudenko, Michette, Kai Engel, and our feature credit music by Vivitch.
For more sexy stories, go to Amazon, iTunes, or Audible and search Rose Caraway. Your subscription will include one free audiobook every month, as well as give you discounted prices on all my audiobooks. You can cancel at any time. Don't forget to leave us a sexy review when you're done listening. The Kiss Me Quick's Erotica Podcast is a Stupid Fish production and is brought to you by Best Women's Erotica of the Year, Volume 3. edited by Rachel Kramer Bussell, narrated by me, Rose Caraway. Stupid fish. I've been loving these emails, you guys, and I want more. Get in touch with us. Contact us. You can follow the show on Twitter at the KMQ.
When I woke, it was Helka who stood looking down at me. Faelin and Eirik had risen. I was alone in the bed. She touched my shoulder. "You are well?" she asked, her brow furrowed in concern. "No pain?" Even in the first days of being wedded to my husband, I'd not, in a single day, had such a volume of fucking. There was a dull ache between my legs, but it was more discomfort than pain. When the three Norsemen had taken me, I'd tried to relax my body. I'd learnt that well enough during my marriage. To resist, to be fearful of pain, was most likely to cause it. I thought back to Eirik, his mouth, his cock. I'd not known that I could enjoy the act as well as any man. I was under no illusion of love. It was Eirik's body that had given me pleasure, nothing else. No doubt he'd had many women, and would be between someone else's legs tonight. Helka sat down beside me. "I told him not to hurt you," she said. I remembered her whispering in his ear, her apologetic smile. I shrugged and looked away. I was angry.